I want everyone to pray with me right now out loud. Everyone at home, you pray this prayer. Everyone in the Family Life Center. Everyone within the sound of my voice. Dear Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. In your precious name, amen. You may be seated. In just a few minutes, say just a few minutes. Say just a few revival minutes. Now there is a difference between a minute and a revival minute. My wife comes to every one of these services and I'll say, just the other day, my wife and I were, you know, doing so and so, and she'll come up to me afterwards and say, Steve, that was 2 years ago. But it's all a blur, friend. How many know what I'm talking about? It's just all a blur. So when I say a revival minute, in just a few minutes, we're going to be praying with folks. We don't pray with people because nothing's happening. We pray with people because something is happening. How can I get this across to you? Let me see here. Here's a note from a guy who, he said, 10 months ago, I was totally delivered from 10 years of drug addiction when you laid hands on me. As I went down, I had an encounter with Jesus. See, friend, it's one thing to go down under the power. It's another thing to have an encounter. That's what people are having, encounters with Jesus. That's God, okay? Encounters with the creator of the universe. Is that awesome to you or what? Encounter with the creator of everything. He wants to speak to you. He said, I saw him walking towards me. He placed his hands on my chest and pulled something out. Then he released it up into the sky. He said, this took place at an Awake America. He said, up until that moment, he goes on to tell about his drug addiction. He had lost everything. He said he was delivered immediately with no withdrawals, with no desire to go back. It was totally gone. Now, friend, that's why we pray for people. Because God's moving. God is touching people. So we want to pray with you in a few minutes. And I know there are people here that don't want to be prayed for. You're in the Family Life Center. You don't want to be prayed for. We've got a large prayer team. All the pastoral staff will be praying. But there are people that come and they're just sort of, queasy about this part. They, you know, what's going to happen to me? All I know, friend, is that 3.5 million people have come through this church. Now, I want you to see something again. How many of this is your first week or your first time here at the revival? Lift your hand high. Put your hand back down. How many of you heard that God is moving here and that's why you came? Lift your hand high. How many of you heard, put your hand back down. How many heard from a reliable source that God is moving here? Lift your hand back up. Are you feeling that? Are you seeing what I'm talking about, friend? It's one thing to hear about a service and say, yeah, it's a good meeting. It's a good meeting, okay preaching, okay singing, it's a good meeting. But what happened? It was just, you know, it's a good conference, good meeting. It's another thing to hear, my Lord and my God. You're not going to believe what happened to me down there in Pensacola. I'll never be the same again. We've had husbands come down here. Wives, I want you to hear me now. We've had husbands come down here, just mean, nasty husbands, you know. Last time to kiss their wives was 20 years ago. Just nasty, mean, you know, tobacco-chewing, spitting husbands, just, you know, just nasty. They've come to the revival. Pow! We're hit by the power. They come back home and they go, honey, I love you. And the wife goes, well, what's that in your mouth? He says, juicy fruit. I want to kiss you, baby. I quit chewing tobacco. God's delivered me, baby. I've been set free. I love you, honey. We've seen this happen, friend. I've had many wives come up to me and say, this is a miracle. This is a miracle. Because, you know, wives, you know your husbands. Husbands, you know your wives. We've seen the same thing happen with wives. God's going to touch you. Young people, He's going to set a fire unto you. So be prayed for in a few minutes. How many are thinking about being prayed for? Raise your hand. It's about two-thirds of you. Now, we prayed for some hard cases, too. I remember there's several, but the one that stands out the most to me is I remember praying for a Muslim, got hit by the power of God, then got saved. By the way, that is the way to witness to Muslims. It's a whole lot easier after power has touched them. I'm going to tell you, once they've been hit, you know, it's like, what must I do to be saved? It's the same thing as Saul of Tarsus. You know, he was hit first. Saul of Tarsus had an encounter first, then he got saved. People need an encounter. But one of my favorites happened right in this area. This is a little hot spot right here. And there was a man standing right here. And he was a Bubba type guy, you know, just strong, stout. Had a mean look on his face, like a snot. How many have met a snot in your life? Just a snot. And for those of you from other countries and that are this is being translated to you. A snot is a person that either know-it-alls, they walk around with their nose up in the air, you can't teach them anything. How many have met a snot? We all know snots. So this guy had come forward to check us out. Okay? And he stood there with his arms crossed like this, just staring at me. Charlie was standing next to me. You up here, Charlie? Where's he at? He's out back. But Charlie remembers this. He was standing next to me, and I walked up to him, and I said, "You want prayer?" He goes, "Yeah." And I really, when you act like that towards me, I'll normally pass you up, okay? But this guy looked like a guy that God just wanted to just sort of do something with. And so I said, "Okay, I'm going to pray for you." And he cocked his legs, okay, like this, you know? Like that, you know, one behind the other, braced himself, and he crossed his arms and just stared at me with his eyes open. None of this, you know, "Oh, Jesus, touch my life." No, just, you know, "Give me your best shot, okay?" Touched him. He went, pow, hit the floor. And wait, soon as he hit the floor, friend, he jumps back up and goes, this. Now, when we pray for folks, I barely touch these people, okay? It's God, period. They know it. There's no way you could push that man down anyhow. He was hit. He gets back up, and he's a little weaker, but he's still strong, okay? And I said, "You want me to pray for you again?" He goes, "Yeah." Pray for him again. Pow! Jumps back up again. And I'm cracking up inside, but I'm going... And I know God has a sense of humor. Because He's watching this guy. He's breaking this guy down. And so I said, "You want me to pray for you again?" He goes, "Yeah." Third time. Pow! And he's on the ground. He's going, like that. And I said, I got on my knees next to him. I said, "What's going on?" He goes, "I think God wants me to stay on the floor." Now, you may say that doesn't make any sense. I want to tell you it makes a whole lot of sense. Because there are people that God will meet upside the head with a 2x4. And there are other people that just come to Jesus and they're blessed, like Lydia in the Word of God. You'll read in the book of Acts where Lydia just believed and got saved and became a part of the church. Other people are like the jailer. They have to have an encounter, an earthquake. They have to have fiery experiences. Saul of Tarsus was one of those that you could not walk up to and hand them a track. That was not the way to reach him, friend. If you had done that, you'd been thrown in jail. He needed an encounter, say encounter, with the power of God. So we're going to talk about that. Jesus, I'm going to say this to you tonight. I'm going to speak the title to you. come in power. Come in power, Jesus. I know that you come in a lot of different ways, Jesus. I know sometimes you come as a dove, gentle. I know other times, Jesus, you come and you teach us, Holy Spirit, in a wonderful, kind, gentle way. But Lord, what we need around the world right now is a manifestation of your power. We need your power to invade this globe. We need your power to come down, Jesus. We need from the White House all the way down to our homes to be hit by the power of God. God, we need your power. So I ask you tonight, Jesus, before I go any further, to come in power. Come in power. Come in power. Those of you from the Netherlands, those of you from Europe, those of you from Australia, Japan, wherever you might be from, trust me, friend, what you need is the power. You need the power to come down, period. It is the answer to every problem. I said it's the answer to every problem. No matter what situation is around you, no matter what kind of neighbor you have, an agnostic, a God hater, whatever your neighbor might be like, if the power hit him, he would change. Whew. I'm going to read a few scriptures. I'm going to read the full text to you because I want you to see this. The first one is 1 Kings chapter 18. I want you to turn there with me. In just a few minutes, Charity's going to come and sing Mercy Seat. And as she sings Mercy Seat, those of you that are away from God, you're going to have the opportunity to get right with God. Those of you that are backslidden, you're going to get the opportunity to get right with God. Found it? You got it? 1 Kings, it's the book right before 2 Kings. I learned that at the Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. Yes, that's second year material. Glory. I'm going to read a few scriptures here, friend, and I want to tell you what happens to me when I read them. This is about Elijah. I'm going to read a couple from the New Testament. Then I've just got a few points tonight. But as I read these, I don't read these as stories, something that happened long ago. Now, the story of Elijah is phenomenal. I want you to look this way before we read it. This man is incredible. He comes on the scene explosive. And I don't know if I've ever met in my life anybody that's quite like this guy. He's just in your face, God. Matter of fact, I believe his name means Jehovah is my God or God is with me. Is it? My God is Yahweh. I mean, he is God. He's my God. That's what Elijah means. And he just comes on the scene, friend, with such an attacking, explosive spirit. I know some people like that, but I don't know anybody that has achieved what Elijah has achieved. I want you to read this with me. 1 Kings 18, verse 19. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. Got it? And the prophets of Baal, 450. Say 450. That's more than 150. That's more than 250. That's a lot of people. As a matter of fact, let's try something here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. What's 8 times 7? I want y'all to just stand up. That one group right here, just this section. Brother Corbin, you can sit right there. By the way, if you want prayer tonight, this brother has got a healing touch on him. E.T. Corbin will pray for you. He's going to be right there. If you have a sickness in your body, all the prayer team will be praying also. But if you can make it over to Brother Corbin tonight, let him pray for you. About 50 people right here. Nine times this group. And I could have 450 people stand, but I just want you to look at nine times this group is what Elijah was up against. I want you, you can sit down. 450. And the prophets of the groves 400 which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, verse 21, how long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it into pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye, verse 24, on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Folks, I want you to feel this with me tonight. This is a setup. This is a setup. This is a man setting them up. Most of us are afraid to even witness. This goes way beyond witnessing. Way beyond handing out a tract. Get a load of this. You guys get an animal. Get yourself some firewood. Put it under the animal. But don't light the fire. I'm going to get an animal. I'm going to get some wood. And I ain't going to light my fire either. And the God that answers by fire. Friend, think of this. This is good. Even the people said that. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. New American Standard said, that's a good idea. They were standing back going, my Lord and my God, Elijah, you stepped over the line. But we want to watch. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many. And call in the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, verse 26, and they dressed it. And called in the name of Baal from morning even until the noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, because there's nothing out there, friend. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or peradventure he sleeps and must be awakened. He's agitating them, friend. I want this group to stand up again, just this group right here. Nine times as many people. This is just 50 people. Nine times as many. And he's going, where's your God? Where's your God? Maybe he's asleep. Feel this, friend. This is not one-on-one. This is not Jesus loves you, hand you, has a plan for your life. Would you read this track? This is agitation here, friend. You can sit back down. And they cried aloud and they cut themselves. We're not going to do that, guys. After their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. Friend, I love this story. The title tonight is Come in Power. come in power. Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Now I want you to imagine 450 prophets of Baal. They're standing there bleeding. They're wrapping their cuts with band-aids and handkerchiefs. They're trying, and they're watching this guy. They're watching him. What on earth is he doing? He's pouring water on the sacrifice. Everybody knows that soaking wood will not burn. This man is insane. I'm talking about the power tonight, friend. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah the prophet said, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Friend, this is a story. Oh, by the way, let me just refresh you. This guy shows up in the New Testament. Elijah shows up at the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. This is a powerful character. He's not just an Old Testament character. He shows up in glory. I don't know about that. That's a wild story, friend. He's just sort of transfigured there with he and who is it, Moses? Standing there in Jesus in all their glory, and it's an awesome sight. Elijah, the man who I just read about, Peter, James, and John are standing there going, my God, it's the man from Mount Carmel, the man who sent fire down from heaven, the man who poured the water over the sacrifice, the man who slew 450 prophets. It's the man who said, God, come in power. Then we got another story. It's found in John chapter 11. I'm going to do this quickly, friend, but I want you to turn there. John 11. What's the title of this message? Come in power. This is the story of Jesus raising a dead man. I was going to start at verse 32, but I'm going to move on down to verse 41. No, verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, this is John 11, 40. Said I not unto thee that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took, oh, no, let's go back up to verse 39. This is even better. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks. For he has been dead for 4 days. Say, really dead. This is another one of them things, friend. This is another of those water things. Water on the sacrifice. Remember Elijah? This man was really dead. This was not a so-so thing here, friend. Lazarus was dead. Verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Now there's one other scripture, and we're not going to read it all, but Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. For those of you that are here, you've never known the Lord, you've never read a Bible, let me tell you something about the Bible. The Bible is the greatest book ever written. It's not a bunch of fairy tales. It's not a bunch of hypocrisy. It's truth. From Genesis to Revelation, I love the Bible. It is my map in life. And once again, I don't read these stories, prayer team members, I don't read these stories as if this was somebody else's work. Elijah was involved in the same warfare you are. And God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And to God, a day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. So really, it's still Elijah time. It's still God's just plain old moving. We're the ones. We are the ones that are responsible for whether or not God comes in power. I want you to hear me. We're the ones, not God. God hasn't changed. But as I read the scriptures, men, and I read the scriptures, women, I see people that are different from who we are in character, in drive, in desires. They want God. Young people, they want God. I meet a lot of young people that tell me they want God. I want you to hear me up in the Family Life Center. Listen to me. I meet young people that tell me they want God. But they'll only spend about a week, an hour or so a week going after God. But they want God. They may spend more time going after a girlfriend than they do going after God. But they tell me they want God. These are people that went after God. We're no different than they are. Got the same problem. You read later on in Elijah's life. He got scared. He ran from Jezebel. He had his times. He's the same as we are, friend. But there's something in his life that needs to be in everybody here. Same with Jesus. How could Jesus walk up to a corpse and say, Father, do this. Lazarus. You notice something about these things, friend? They didn't say, whenever you feel up to it, Father. It's almost like they commanded heaven. Now! Lazarus, come forth! I'm not going to read the scripture from the day of Pentecost. But this is another time when a group of people tarried. Why? Because the Lord told them to tarry. How long? As long as they were supposed to. Just tarry. That means wait. What happened? God came in power. He came in power. They got more than they bargained for, friend. I want to share some stuff with you. In just a minute, we're going to pray together. I believe, I know something's going to happen here. I just feel this. Paul taught, you can look later in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You look later there, you can look at it now, whatever. He said, my speech, I don't come to you in my speech, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I'm going to share something intimate right now. A few minutes ago, John Kilpatrick and I were back in his back office in the pastor's lounge right before this meeting. And he started weeping. He's just weeping. We're just, he and I were in the back room. He started weeping. He said, Steve, I don't know what's going on. He said, everywhere I go, he said, something's happening. Something's happening. He said, as I go out and preach, he said, I can't get 20 minutes into the meeting before the power comes down. The power comes down. He'll go to some meeting, like a meeting with Jack Hayford, with a lot of pastors out in California, a very prestigious meeting. He gets out there and doesn't even get started good before the power just comes down. And I told him a few minutes ago, I said, Pastor, that's what it's all about. That's what all the churches need, is the power to come down. I want to tell you why, friend. You look at Elijah, what took place here. He didn't preach. The power did the preaching. The power did the preaching. The power came down. Everybody was convinced after that. You talk altar calls, friend? It's altar. We believe, we believe, we believe. Before sharing a few points, early this morning I was doing some serious reminiscing. I was involved in some quiet, productive meditation. For a short period of time, I began to think about the beginning of this revival, Father's Day, 1995, at least my part in it. Many people have commented to me that on that day I looked and acted like a caged animal. I was pacing back and forth in anticipation over what was about to happen. Nobody could have come up to me and told me otherwise. You see, my friend, I knew that something powerful was about to happen in this church. This morning I looked up in my journal and I began to read the journal on June 18th, 1995. And the Lord had given me a scripture that day that's in Isaiah that said, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will come and even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Then he gave me Psalm 107:9, for he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul has he filled with what is good. Yes, I've watched the Father's Day video, and I agree, I was like an anxious, expectant father. Kelsey, my little daughter, was just born. Is she in here right now? Is she asleep? My little daughter had just been born 2 weeks before this revival broke out. And I know what it's like to be an expectant father. I know what it's like to pace. As a matter of fact, she went into labor. I would stay with you the whole time. And I said, baby, I got to go get a cup of coffee. It's almost over for me, babe. I'm dying. So I went to get a cup of coffee. And as soon as I went down and got all the way down in the little cafeteria over the intercom system, comes, would Mr. Stephen Hill please return to the room? Would Mr. Stephen Hill please return to the room? And then it's happening. But I knew that I knew that I knew my wife was going to have a baby. And I knew that I knew that I knew something was about to happen in this place. Something incredible. You see, my friend, I've seen too much to be convinced otherwise. I know what everyone does not need is another hotshot evangelist spewing out some reheated leftover message. I'm going to say that again for any evangelists that are visiting with us today. What this church did not need was another hotshot evangelist spewing out some reheated leftover message. This church didn't need to hear a bunch of missionary stories or watch an antiquated slideshow. And this is me in the jungle. And this is me in a canoe in the jungle. And this is me with alligator sandals on in my canoe in the jungle. And this is me in the canoe in the jungle, 100 feet down the river. And this is me getting out of the canoe in the jungle in my alligator sandals. We've had enough of that, friend. This church had not been praying for over 2 years in order to bring to everyone's attention all over the world how great their prayer meeting was on Sunday night. This church did not need me to come and give some quickie sermonette to what John Davis would call Christianettes in their bassinets. This church wasn't like that. This church was under the leadership of Pastor John Kilpatrick, and it was going after God. And I'm also a firm believer, prayer team, that if I had not come on that day, God would have still poured out His Spirit here at Brownsville. Steve Hill would not be preaching the Brownsville Revival. Someone else would have preached the Brownsville Revival. I believe God would have poured out His Spirit. I believe that. God's got replacements. When you say no, there's always someone who will say yes. No, my friend, what Brownsville wanted and what every true believer wants is the power. The power. Now, I'm not going to get theological with you tonight, friend. I hate that. I won't do that in an evangelistic meeting like this. The power is nothing more, nothing less than the manifest presence of God working through our lives. That's all it is. Brownsville had already had a measure of God moving here, but they wanted the dimmer switch turned all the way up. They wanted the throttle wide open. They wanted the power to come down. How many are with me on this? They want the power to come down. Now, I have seen that in my life. And every time I have seen the power come down, I am jealous. I remember when I worked in Argentina and I visited the Carlos Anacondia meetings. For those of you from Argentina, you're familiar with these. But I remember my wife and I going to these meetings. And I had been to evangelistic meetings all my life. But I had never been to a meeting like this when the director of the meeting turned to me and said, "Watch this." It was the same as Elijah. He said, "Watch this," as if something was about to happen, Pastor, and there was no way around it. It was about to happen. He said, "Watch this," and there was about 15,000 people there that night in an open field. He says, "Carlos is about to bind demons. Watch what happens." And he says, "See that tent behind us? It's about to be filled with demon-possessed people kicking and screaming." And I thought, I've never seen anything like this. I've laid hands on demon-possessed. I've prayed for the demon-possessed, but I've never seen anything like what I was about to see, what he was explaining. He said, "Watch this." Carlos got up there, and after giving an altar call, 2,500, 3,000 people got saved. After talking to them for a few minutes, he begins casting out devils. And he goes, "Satanás, óyeme bien. Satan, hear me good. En el nombre de Jesucristo de Nazaret, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, te ato, I bind you." And he began binding white witches. He began binding witchcraft, Satanism. He began binding astrologers. He began binding every demonic activity that came to his heart and mind. And people started screaming. Everywhere. They started falling to the ground, kicking and frothing at the mouth. Usher, as someone fell to the ground, who's got a handkerchief? Anybody got a handkerchief? Give me a handkerchief. As someone fell to the ground, someone next to him would wave a handkerchief up in the air like this, and ushers would come running over to that person and pick them up, kicking and screaming. And you'd watch these people being paraded by the platform, just violent. Violent activities of Satan, just kicking and screaming and fighting. Then they'd take them in the back room and spend hours with them. Some of them for hours and hours, to the wee hours of the morning, casting out devil after devil after devil. And I sat there and I went, oh, this is good. This is powerful. But what took me by surprise, friend, was the "this is what's about to happen" attitude. Because we're so accustomed to this, friend. Well, right now we're going to pray for people, and if no one's healed, God's God and it's up to God. The difference is night and day. He would stand up and say, God is about to heal you. God is about to set you free from drug addiction and alcoholism. God is about to heal your marriage. God is about to save your soul. It was like, God's about to fall. He's about to come in power. So friend, it'll spoil you. Before I came to Brownsville, we'd been seeing the power come down. God hitting people, touching people. We saw the scriptures come alive when Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In my name you shall heal the sick, cast out devils, speak with new tongues. We began to see these things, friend. It'll spoil you rotten. Well, I'm going to be focused tonight on come in power. The other day I was in an antique shop and I found an antique brass arrow. And I don't know what they made this thing for, but it is so awesome. It's got an ornate plate at the bottom, a shaft, and the arrow. It's a beautiful brass heavy arrow. And it's just straight. And I bought that thing, Pastor, and I stick it in front of me when I'm preparing messages. And I'll look at that thing, and the Lord will speak to me and say, stay focused. I'll look at that arrow, because it's so easy to get sidetracked, friend. But we ain't going to get sidetracked. Everybody stand. Now, you may sit back down. I'm serious. That's whoever that was getting a little sleepy. I'm trying to help you. And for those of you that procrastinated, that was a chance in a lifetime to stand up. But if you procrastinated, you can go ahead and stand. And I'm going to share a few points with you, friend, about coming in power. Number one is this. The manifestation of His power is not experienced. Say not. It's not experienced by everyone. The power of Christ, the power of God, the power coming down is not experienced by everyone. That may sound sinless, it may sound juvenile to you, friend. But as I read the Word, I see a mighty separation here, friend. What camp do you want to be a part of? I'm asking you a question. What camp do you want to be a part of? This is something men from the home, New Hope Home, do you want to be a part of the camp where the power comes down? Or you want to be one of those that never receives anything from God? You can't heal a sick butterfly or sick hummingbird? Ain't got enough power to do a thing? Are you one of those that you want to see the power come down? Are you one of those you want to see the power come down? Are you one of those you want to be in Elijah's camp where you step into a mighty tempest of warfare and you look up to God and say, God, it's you and me. Where do you want to be at, friend? Prayer team, I want to tell you something. When you go out and pray for people, it's you and God. It's you and God. It's not experienced by everybody. See, the Bible says, even I, Elijah said, remain as a prophet of the Lord. It wasn't the crowd or the disciples that raised Lazarus from the dead. It was Jesus. was everybody else on the day of Pentecost? Mike, how many people could have been there at the day of Pentecost? Hundreds of thousands could have been there. Jesus had appeared back on earth, and he instructed them, wait for me. I'm going to send power. How come there is just a motley crew of 120 people, friend? I want to tell you why. Not everyone experiences God's power. It's not for everybody. There's some people that don't measure up. They're too busy. They got other things they need to do. They don't want the responsibility of it. Friend, I'm speaking straight to you tonight. The manifestation of his power will be experienced by those who take him at his word and expect it to happen. See, when I pray for you tonight, if you tell me you're a drug addict, I'm believing God to heal you right then. Why? He is the God that heals. I don't look at you and go, oh. Pastor, would you come over here and pray for this lady? She's sick. E.T. Corbin, come over here and pray for this lady. She's sick. No, friend. I want to be the one that experiences the power. I want to be the Elijah. I want to be the one that looks God, it's me again. There's another sick person in front of me. Do it again! Come down again, Father! Do it again! Heal the sick! Set the captive free, Father! Do it again! I expect it to happen, friend! Well, some of you, I hope you move from point A to point Z tonight. You got to get out of that rut you're in. God never intended you to live in some silly little pond of religiosity. He's got an ocean for you out there, friend. He wants you to move with him. He wants things to happen through you. The manifestation of his power will be experienced by those who refuse, say refuse, to be sidetracked or discouraged by adverse circumstances. Friend, as I was writing this morning, Pastor, my mind went to Elijah. My mind went to Jesus. Lazarus stinks. 4 days, adverse circumstances. Elijah, 450 prophets. Outnumbered, friend, when it comes to the physical, but not to the spiritual. I'm talking about the manifestation of his power. What are you going through right now? What's troubling you in the Family Life Center? What are you going through at home? You want to be one of those that experiences the power of Christ? Then you've got to step past all those adverse circumstances. All the pressures that are around you. I'll tell you something else about this. The one who experienced the manifestation of his power is the one who doesn't listen to everyone else's opinion around them. I want to tell you, 23 years ago, I had it with man's opinion. That's when I got saved, 23 years ago. Man ain't got nothing to say, friend. What does man know about the power? You want to know what people do? Rather than talk to the Elijahs of the world, they'll talk to somebody in the crowd. I'd rather talk to an Elijah. I would rather talk to an Elijah. I would rather be there face to face with Elijah and say, what was it like? What was it like? And say, well, I had a crowd of people that didn't believe it. I had a bunch of prophets that were at war with me. I want to feel that, friend. I want to feel what it was like. I don't want to be around other people that have never experienced the power. They don't know what it's like to call down fire from heaven. They've never delivered a demon out of anybody. They never delivered anybody from anything. They're too afraid to pray for the sick. Why do you think this nation's in the condition it's in? Why do you think we're in the place it's in, friend? Christians are scared. They're scared to do anything. They're scared to go after God. They're scared to believe God. They let the humanists run our nation. They let the humanists run our schools. Young people, those of you young people that are afraid, I'm so sick and tired of wimpy youth groups. Wimpy. I'm so sick and tired of young people saying, well, they don't let us pray in school. They, no one can stop you from praying in school. You should walk down the school. I mean, they're walking down the corridors cussing. You should walk down the school speaking in tongues, praying to Jesus Christ, asking God to move mighty. Ask Him to come back. Nothing. Nothing should stop you. Man, you could walk down the corridors of your school going, oh, God of Elijah. You know this school, it's a stench in your nostrils. But oh God, come in power. And if somebody comes up to you in the corridors and said, what'd you say? I said, God, come in power. I'm going to tell you, you better move into the next level. Because it's all, the curtain's closing. There's going to be a mighty move of God before the second coming. And it's about to hit. Everything we've seen at Brownsville is just the beginning. That's all it is. Some of us in this room, you think, man, God, you guys have really got it made. It's awesome. We feel like we've got maybe our big toe in the pool or something. I feel like I've gone 1% of the way, and there's something out there that's going to dwarf everything we've ever seen. I want it to come to the day, friend, where every man, woman, and child that loves Jesus can walk into a school and people fall on their faces under conviction of the Holy Ghost. Where they can sense the power of God. Where you can walk into your office, friend, if someone's sick, you just touch them. Or the day, could you imagine before the Lord comes back, if He just decides for all the on-fire believing Christians for their shadow to heal the sick for let's say He decides to do it for 3 days. For 3 days, and you're at a mall. And it's fluorescent lights shining down from the mall ceiling. You're just at the mall, and you're walking over to the Gap store, you know, to get a pair of jeans. And you're walking across, and your shadow crosses over a man in a wheelchair. Lift up your eyes, friend. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come in power, Jesus! Come in power, Jesus! The manifestation of His power will be experienced by those who know how to pray. Now, I'm not talking about lofty religious prayers. You see the prayers of Elijah? God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that You are God, and that I am Your servant. And that I've done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord, that these people may know that You are the Lord God, and Thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Friend, there was not a moment of hesitation in that prayer. Some of us here, pastors, I want to tell you, and I'm closing in just a minute. You want God to come down in your church? Be specific. Don't let there be 1 ounce of reservation in your voice. Because He knows it. If you still got this 2 or 3 groups of people in your church, a deacon and his wife and a couple other people in your church that are wealthy, and they're telling you, Pastor, we're willing to go with you in a revival if it just doesn't get too... Just, you know, keep it. Keep it under wraps. Keep it, you know, keep it controlled. Brother, when you get before God Almighty, you better stand before Him and go, oh, Father, Jesus, Holy Ghost of Pentecost, come down in power. Come down in fire. Melt every heart. And if you want to singe my church, if you want to purify my church, then purify my church. Just come down in power, Jesus. Come down in power. I don't know what you're after, friend, but I'm not after friends. I'm not after friends, fun, food, and fellowship. I'm after God coming down. You say amen, but I want to tell you, when the power comes down, it separates some people. It'll separate some people. I got folks that won't even talk to me no more. I got friends that won't speak to me anymore. They'll watch a 2020 broadcast. They'll read about it in the New York Times. They'll see it on the Today Show. And rather than going, my God, this thing's gaining world attention. People are getting saved all over the world. Rather than saying something like, God, this is unreal, they'll say things like this. Well, look at you. You're on the Today Show. That's unreal, friend. It's unreal. Missing the whole point. I love what David Wilkerson said. It was in Spin Magazine. Spin Magazine was one of the raunchiest music magazines on the shelves. And there's like a 10-page article about the revival in there. It's called An Awesome God. An Awesome God. It's phenomenal. The story is phenomenal. In a raunchy magazine. Spin Magazine stayed here for a week doing the story. And David Wilkerson, when he read the story, he said to me over the phone, he said, my God, Steve, you're in Spin Magazine. And I said, it's just where I want to be, Brother Dave. He said, it's where you're supposed to be. That's where you're supposed to be. You better know how to pray, friend. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, thank you that you have heard me. Then he cried out with a loud voice and said, Lazarus, come forth. The people in the upper room had been praying, seeking God, going after God. And what happened? The power came down. You better know how to pray. Number two, charity, get ready. When his power comes down, it's a direct assault on hell. But I'm not going to make it to this message, I can tell right now. It's a direct assault on hell. I love the power. You can have the teaching. I love teaching. I love teaching. I love to be learned. I like education. But if I had the choice between education and power, give me the power. I'd rather be some doofus. I'd rather be somebody, if somebody says, you know, where's the book of Matthew? I'd rather be somebody looking in the Old Testament. You know, going, duh. I'd rather be like that. I'd rather be like that. I'd rather be like that and be able to call fire down from heaven. I'd rather not come with enticing words and great oratorical skills. I'd rather be somebody who went, Jesus, heal him. Fall in this place. Come down in power. Friend, I've prayed for folks in this place. You'll see Mike and Pastor, we'll walk around, we'll call fire down. You know what that means? Everything to us. Burn them up. Burn them up, Jesus. We'll pray fire. People are hit. People are thrown through the air. They hit the wall. People will fall and shake and vibrate for 3 hours. I've had them look at me with their eyes just dancing in their heads going, oh my God, what was that? It's called the power, friend. But I don't know about all that stuff. You better learn about all that stuff, friend. You better learn about the power. It's a direct assault on hell. When the power comes down to heal the sick, it's a direct assault on the devil's plan to wear you down and discourage the people that are sick in body. It's a direct assault. Tonight when E.T. Corbin prays for people, when I pray for folks, when these folks pray for people and you're sick, hell don't like that. It's a direct assault on the devil. When the power comes down tonight to save the lost, it's a direct assault on the devil's damnable plan of taking people to hell. Tonight, friend, when the power comes down to deliver those who are in bondage to drugs, alcohol, pornography, sexual lust, it's a direct assault on the devil's plan to destroy your life. Tonight, when the power comes down to refresh those who are dry and thirsty, it's a direct assault on the devil's plan to kill those and put them out in some desert spiritual famine. It's a direct assault on the devil's activities. Tonight when the power comes down and ignites a pastor, it's a direct assault on the demons of his city. Demonic forces that are over your city, pastor, they see you here at Brownsville. They hate this kind of stuff because they've seen churches go from nothing to hundreds into the thousands just like that. They've seen people start walking in the power and people being delivered and set free. The demons hate. It's a direct assault. What do you think happened on Mount Carmel? It was a direct assault on the prophets of Baal and demon activity. When the power comes down, friend, it's a slap in the devil's face. Before I came here tonight, I was talking to Lauren Triplett. He said, Steve, tonight Lauren Triplett was the head of the Assemblies of God missions program for years. We had a wonderful conversation today. He said, Steve, throw the mud in his face. Slap the devil. He knew. I told him tonight I'm preaching on coming power. Friends, that's what it means. When the power comes down, say assault. It's an assault on hell. For Elijah, it was assault on the prophets of Baal. For Jesus, it was an assault on death. Pentecost, it was an assault on the world's darkness. 3,000 people were saved just like that. Come in power, Jesus, tonight. Come in power. Oh, by the way, Carlos Anacondia in Argentina didn't even hold credentials. Carlos Anacondia, until recently, didn't even have credentials. He wasn't even a reverend. The great evangelist in Argentina that was casting out demons and devils had never gone to Bible school. How can it be? How can it be? You know why he was casting out devils? Healing the sick? Because he read a book called I Believe in Miracles by Catherine Coleman. And he read her story, then he read in the book of James, where James says he is no respecter of persons. And Carlos took that book and the Bible and held them in front of God and said, hey God, your book says that you don't respect people. We're all the same. So I want you to do in me what you did through Catherine Coleman. Just like that. Believing that God was going to do it. My last point, I want you to stand. This time you can stand up for a few seconds. When his power comes down, those of you in the Family Life Center, stand to your feet. When the power comes down, it causes the powers of this world to be stirred up. Look this way, folks. I talked to you about what's going to happen when it comes down, about the kind of people that it falls on. It's a direct assault on hell. See, it's not about you. The power coming down on Elijah was not about Elijah. It was about the kingdom, the work of God. And so when the power comes down tonight in your life, it's going to be assault on hell. It's also going to stir things up. It stirred up Jezebel. Oh, did it stir her up? She said, so may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow this time. It'll stir people up, friend. Jesus, when he raised up Lazarus, you'll see just a few scriptures after that story took place, they began to plan how to kill the man. They even wanted to kill Lazarus again. Why? Because too many people were getting saved. When the power comes down, friend, it's going to stir everybody up. Everybody's going to be stirred up. When the power came down on the day of Pentecost, it messed everything up. There were mockers that day that said, these people are drunk. Within a short while, the disciples were being beaten for their faith. Why, friend? The power came down. People were being healed, set free, delivered. Friend, it'll stir everything up. If you don't want things to be stirred up, you need to run for your life. Get away from the power. Get away from the power. Those of you from European nations, what you need is the power to come down. Period. That's all you need in Europe, is the power to come down. And when it comes down, get ready for the government. Get ready for the nations that have established religions. Get ready to be attacked like you've never been attacked before. And get ready for incredible things to take place. Like soldiers may be coming to arrest you, and you laying hands on them, and then being hit by the power. Get ready for things to the supernatural. Say supernatural. That means beyond the natural. I'm so sick of the natural. People have asked me if I ever want to go and talk to the president. I want to lay hands on the president. Period. That's what I want to do. I want to explain it to the security guards beforehand. Because this nation needs the power to come down, friend. We're talked out till we're blue in the face. We receive all the counsel a person can receive. It's time for the power to come down. Everyone with the chairs moving to the left and the right. Come in power, God. Charity, come join me. Scholars, please forgive me for not quoting every scripture you wanted me to quote. But there's enough power encounters in the Bible to preach for 10 years. When I start preparing a message in the morning, usually around 11 o'clock, I start usually around 6. By 11 o'clock, I am so frustrated because of cross-referencing. How many know what cross-referencing is? Well, you find a scripture and you find another place where another scripture says something about that scripture. Then you find another scripture goes to another story. Before you know it, friend, you've got an 82-page message. Tonight, I want everyone to give me your best here. For those of you in this room, that are away from Jesus Christ. Would you look this way? First things first, you've got to lay the foundation. You need the power of Jesus Christ working through your life, but the bottom line is, you got to get saved first. You got to get the sin out. The Bible doesn't say that Elijah fell on his face and he said, God, forgive me of my adultery. Forgive me of my sexual perversion. Forgive me of all my bad habits. The Bible doesn't say that. He went right to the throne and commanded God to come down in fire. Why? Because he was right with God. He was right with God. Friend, you got to be right with God first. Some of you in this room are backslidden. You're doing things that Jesus would never do. I opened up Charisma magazine today. I don't know if you saw this, Pastor, but the quote of the month, it's in a big block. It says, if you can't show the video or listen to the CD in church on Sunday morning, then it's sin. It says, Steve Hill, evangelist, Brownsville Revival. But that's the truth. If you can't show it on that screen on Sunday morning in front of the whole church, then what you're watching at home is wrong. Period. Because there's not a Jesus at church and a Jesus at home. There's one God. And some of you need to repent. You need to get right with God. You need to get right with God. Remember, we got the quote of the day in the New York Times. I'll never forget that. Just opened it up, and there it was. It says, you can walk into a McDonald's, it won't make you a hamburger. Going to church won't make you a Christian. Then it said, Steve Hill, evangelist, Brownsville Assembly. I'm going, why would the New York Times put that as the quote of the day? You want to know why? It's truth. Remember, their motto is all the news fit to print. They figured that's truth. They also put in there, you can't love Jesus with a reefer hanging out of your mouth. You can't love Jesus and say you're a Christian and be in the back seat of a car with the windows steamed up. Take it from the New York Times. Why did they write all that? Because they know it's the truth. That's why they put it in the paper. They know it's the truth. So those of you that are away from God, you're backslidden tonight, you're going to come forward in just a minute, you're going to get right with God. Listen up in the balcony, those of you in the other room, you're going to come quickly and get right with God. You're not going to hesitate. There's sin in your life and you know it. I'm going to tell you, He's here tonight in power to take that sin away. Those of you that have never known the Lord, come tonight in just a minute when Charity sings Mercy Seat, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Friend, He's going to be your best friend. Jesus is awesome. Young people, let Him be your best friend. When you wake up in the morning, you'll talk to Jesus. You'll plan out your day with Him. You'll fellowship with Him all through the day. It's awesome. I'm never alone. Say never alone. He's always with me. It's awesome to have a friend that never leaves you. He'll be your best friend. For those of you that are religious, religion is hanging around the cross. Christianity is getting on the cross. There's a big difference. Tonight, I want to warn everyone who's religious, you might be a churchgoer. But friend, there's a lot of people that on that day, the final day, they're going to say, Lord, Lord, in Your name I cast out devils. In Your name I prophesied. In Your name I did many wonderful works. And He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. There's a lot of church folks, pastors, that are never going to make it in. Why? They didn't fellowship with Him. They didn't know Him. I'm asking you tonight, do you know Him? In the Family Life Center, I'm asking you a serious question. Don't lie. This is holy ground. Don't lie. Do you wake up in the morning with Jesus on your heart? Do you go to sleep at night with Jesus on your heart? Do you eat, drink, and breathe Jesus? Are you consumed with Jesus? You can go to hell with a choir robe on. You can go to hell with baptismal waters dripping off of your face. You can go to hell with a communion cup in your hand and a wafer in your mouth. I'm asking you, friend, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? If you don't, and don't lie, if you don't, you can meet him tonight at these altars. He's here. Well, why do I have to go to the altars? Let me ask you a question. Why not? What's your problem? Sounds like pride. Pride will damn you. Pride, according to the scripture, is something that God resists. The Bible says, listen up in the balcony, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If you want God to resist you, then stand there in pride. I'm not going to go down there. But if you want God to give you grace, that means favor, kindness, then when I give this altar call, step out and come down here and get the sin out of your life. And keep in mind that Jesus Christ ridded himself of all pride. He went all the way to Calvary for you, friend. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was stripped. He was mocked. He was cursed at. His back was plowed like a farmer would plow the field. He was pierced, his hands, his feet. He was hung on the cross on top of Mount Calvary for everyone to look at. For you. For me. And you can't walk 20 feet. You can't come down from the balcony. You can't come from the back row of the Family Life Center. You can't get off your couch and get down on your knees at home and repent of your sins. Friend, if Jesus went all the way to Calvary for you, then why don't you shake the pride off of you and come and get right for him? See, in just a few minutes, the power is going to come down. In just a few minutes, we're going to pray with folks, friends. Stuff's going to happen tonight that's going to blow you away. You will never be the same. And I'm speaking to hundreds and hundreds of people tonight. You will never be the same. God's going to touch you tonight. Many of you are going to move into another realm of ministry. God's going to use you in miracles, in signs and wonders. It's going to happen. But first, you're going to make sure all the sin's out. Charity's going to sing Mercy Seat. Everyone in this room that's away from God, everyone that needs forgiveness, I don't want you to hesitate. If you need Jesus Christ to forgive you, I want you to come right now. Don't hesitate. I want you to come right now.